I will not waver, walking by faith. He will be strong to deliver me safe. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus died, the wrath of
Trembling, although there's always a bit of that, but to cry out to our daddy, amen. To our father. He chose us. He chose us. We were adopted to his. It's done. It's legal. It's binding. It's forever.
Amen.
And it's grace.
That's right. sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. T'was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone.
Take my God's people said.
Amen.
Children's church is dismissed. Beach, would you pray for the word this morning, if you can do that?
Heavenly Father, first off, I want to thank you and praise you for all you've done for us. You invite us, as we talked earlier, to adopt and plug us into your fold. And now you want to bring forth the word. What you would have us to know and how we can serve you better. May we do that with honesty, sincerity, and clarity. From the word is delivered from you to us through the Spirit, through our hearts, and may we continue to serve in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, as I was thinking this morning about what we're going to talk about today, I got to thinking about all of the sugar that we've eaten over the past month. And you know, one of the things that tends to happen now, and I just got to preface this by what before I was. Before our family received the cookies and the Hershey Kisses and this and that and the other thing from, my wife had made fudge, three platters of fudge, three different kinds of fudge. That was our fourth food group through the month. In fact, usually when you tell your kids, you know, finish those peas, it's, no, finish your fudge, because we had so much. And so we started eating the fudge before the holidays really kicked in, and then we started eating. And so our island became this mountain of, you know, sweets. And anyway, we may pay for that. But it's gotten to the point where it's like, all right, give me some broccoli. Well, you know. And we all do this, you know. One of the things what we all want to avoid is, as a result of the past month of festivities, is we want to avoid the scale, right? How many decided just to not even have a scale in their house? Why bother, right? Ours is tucked away, easy to forget. But I want to talk to you this morning about weighing, but not that kind of weighing. So, don't worry about it. You may have your resolutions, and we all tend to do that, and some of us succeed and some of us don't. But I want to talk to you about, as we begin a new year, one of the things we tend to do is we tend to do two things. We tend to look back over the past year, and we look ahead to the new year. And in this process of the process kind of happens a lot without even without a lot of deliberation. It just we're just thinking, you know. As we contemplate and as we consider whether it's the past or the new year, one of the things we're doing is we're weighing things. We are weighing the year's successes or failures. We're weighing our accomplishments. Or we're weighing our regrets. And then we're making plans and setting new goals to attempt to tip the scale, so to speak, in the year ahead. You know, maybe what I failed this year, I'll accomplish this next year. And so what we're doing is we're weighing things. We measure and weigh everything, really, on scales. Were we successful? Did we accomplish what we set out to do? Are we better than we were? Are we further along than we were? Did we improve? Did we grow? I think those are good questions, by the way. We should be asking those kind of questions. Weighing is important. But sometimes we're using the wrong scales. You know, we think, was it a good year? But then, I remember when we had the academy here many years ago, and some of you know the LaGrues, and I remember little JoJo LaGrue, and he was like 5 or something like that, and you'd ask the kids to say a prayer before the day at the start of the school day, and he would always, without fail, say, "God, give us a good day. Give us a good day." And who doesn't want that? That's a great prayer for a kid. And it's not a bad prayer for an adult. It's just that, how do we weigh what is good? Right? How do we weigh a good year? And we look ahead and we weigh our future goals, our plans, our desires, what will make it a good year. Again, we're weighing things. And that is the truth every day. Every day. This morning, you weighed things. You made decisions. There were choices before you, and you weighed what would be better. What should I wear today? What footwear should I wear today out in the ice? By the way, be careful walking outside, walking down the stairwell. We did try to do our best, but, it's rough. It's a challenge keeping up with this winter weather that God has blessed us with. I mean that in sincerity. But so we're weighing things, we're making estimations, we're measuring with scales, but those scales are of our own design. In other words, we've determined by certain criteria what has weight and what doesn't. So we stand on the bathroom scale, or we don't, or we throw it away. We determine what we will, regarding our choices of food and entertainment and friends, purchases, work, projects, time. All of these things that are a part of our lives, we're weighing whether these choices will satisfy, whether they will make us happy, whether they will fulfill us. Whether we will, again, feel better about ourselves. And so, we measure things based on certain criteria. What does it look like? How does it make me feel? How challenging will it be? Will it be hard? Or will it be easy? Will it be successful? Is it guaranteed? Is it safe? Is it secure? Will it support me? Will it support my weight? Anybody walking out on thin ice out there? And so we weigh whether something is worth doing based on our comfort, convenience, ease, whether, again, what the outcome is. We try to manage the outcome, and that determines the scales that we use. We also measure things by comparisons. We compare ourselves, our things, our accomplishments, our successes, our goals, with other people's things and accomplishments and successes and goals. And we weigh looking at other people, and we use them and their stuff and their goals and their plans to determine whether ours have weight or not. So we are always weighing things. We're always measuring things. We're always estimating. God also weighs things. But God weighs with different scales. Do you remember when Samuel was sent to Jesse's family to find the anointed one among his sons? And do you remember Samuel went with a criteria in mind? It obviously must be the firstborn, right? There was like seven, right? I think he was the youngest of seven or something like that. And they just kind of went down the list. They hadn't even considered David. He's out there in the field somewhere. We don't even need to bring him. And so Samuel, with of course good intentions, was using the wrong scales to determine whom God had chosen. You remember what the Lord said to Samuel? Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him, meaning the other sons, particularly the oldest. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, God uses other scales to determine worth or value or weight or choice. And so God had informed Samuel, you're using the wrong scales. And isn't that true of us? Aren't we looking at the outward appearance to determine value, determine worth, to determine what is good? And we're looking at the outward, what we see with our eyes, what we experience with our senses, and we allow our senses. And again, God gave us those, by the way. But that alone, that in themselves do not determine what is weighty in God's eyes or on God's scales. An old early 20th century preacher, pastor, J.H. Jowett. I've got a little daily devotional of his that I pull off the shelf occasionally. I did that this week. And it was just, you know, I've got a number of those. We all have devotionals or, yearly readings, the daily readings. And I just kind of happened to pick his up. And this passage struck me, something that he said here. He says this. Hence the leading of this message from the Lord, okay? Our God weighs things. He weighs our offerings, and he weighs them in his own spiritual scales to see what spiritual significance there is in them. He weighs our gifts to ascertain their weight of sacrifice. He weighs our prayers to see what weight of holy desire there is in them. In the estimation of the Lord, many things are very weighty which have no regard in the esteem of the world. God weighs the inner things, the yearnings, the prayings, and the dreams. Again, God weighs using different scales. We weigh what we have done. God weighs how we did it. We weigh the end or the outcome. God weighs the means to the end. We weigh based on what we see. God weighs what cannot be seen with the human eye, with scales that we do not have. God weighs things that we do not have scales for. Job chapter 28 says that God, it says, he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind. God weighs the wind. Isaiah chapter 40. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? It goes on to say, behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. God weighs things. He weighs wind and mountains. He weighs the cosmos. He weighs the heavens. He weighs the earth. He weighs the nations. But not only that, he weighs thoughts. He weighs intentions. And he does so in his perfect scales. And often what he weighs, because one of the things he weighs is men and women, us. And not just the outward body, he weighs the spirit, he weighs the heart, he weighs the inner man. Psalm 62, verse 9. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Proverbs 16, 2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Do you know that the Lord weighs our sorrows, our griefs. You can be thankful for that, by the way. He knows. He weighs them. Job said this, "Oh, that my grief were fully weighed and my calamity laid with it on the scales." The way of the just, Isaiah says in chapter 26, the way of the just is uprightness. Oh, most upright, you weigh the path of the just. Proverbs 21:2, every man or every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. And then in 1 Samuel 2, the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And so God weighs with scales that are perfect. He weighs with scales that we do not have in that sense. So we tend to use a different criteria for what is worthy, what has value, what has significance. And using our scales, we tend to measure things inaccurately. We tend to weigh things in error, and we are often flawed in our estimation of what is valuable and what is good, of what is meaningful, of what is worthy. We measure the weight of our lives by checklists. Anybody have checklists out there? I do. I live by the checklist. You can look at my, just recently I thought my whole calendar on my, I live by my calendar on my phone, and it disappeared. I mean, everything. I mean, felt like my history was just erased. Just gone. Poof. Like, you can ask my wife. I was stressed. I mean, I tend to live by these lists in such a way that if I do something that's not on the list, I put it on the list. Right? It's like, did this, had that conversation, accomplished this. And that list gets bigger as the day goes because I just start filling in and adding to the list to give myself a sense of weight. Now, we're flawed in our scales because sometimes our scales are our feelings. How does it make me feel? And so often our feelings are the exact opposite of what is true. I'm overwhelmed, I'm lost, I'm hopeless, says the Christian who has the God who can do all things. How many times have we been there? We've looked, we've used the wrong scales to determine our circumstance, our situation, because of how our circumstance, our situation makes us feel. Or whether we've, again, accomplished that big thing. And sometimes that big thing in God's eyes is like, meh. Right? I was more interested, it's like God was saying, I was more interested in you and I doing it together, but you just kind of went off and did it on your own. So, that's good. Ever done that? You thought you did a big thing and whatever. Made a nice meal, you cleaned your room, whatever, and you're excited about that, and the folks in your home are like, it's one thing if people do that. It's another thing when God does that. Because that's God's way of saying, that wasn't the most important thing, is you accomplishing that goal. Do you know the church looked like an incredible failure the weekend that Christ was crucified before he rose from the dead, right? There have been times throughout history when the church looked like it was done. Church scattered. What happens? It's done, it's failed, it's gone. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What's true? Your perception of things, how you feel about things, or his word? Man, what's your scales? How are you measuring? What is good? What is successful? There's a number of folks, I'll just mention a few, a number of folks use the wrong scales when they weighed either their circumstances or when they weighed themselves. You remember King Saul? He weighed himself, but he used the wrong scales. Remember he made that sacrifice when he wasn't supposed to because he was afraid, and the Philistines were coming, and Samuel wasn't there yet. He was the one that was supposed to make the sacrifice, and so he went ahead and preemptively made the sacrifice on his own. That was one instance. Another instance, he was supposed to kill all the Amalekites, including the king. King's still alive, and they took all the plunder as well, and they weren't supposed to take that either. Remember what Samuel said to him? Because he would say, hey, I did a good thing. I did what the Lord told me to do. He said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? And then he said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. King Saul used the wrong scales to measure himself. I made the right sacrifice. I thought I did what the Lord told me to do. No, you did not obey the word of God. Another king, remember Nebuchadnezzar, weighed himself. Oh, look at the kingdom that I have built for myself in my name. He used the wrong scales to measure himself. And there he is for 7 years, clawing the earth. Long fingernails. Some of you are growing those things right now over the holidays. Cut those things. Get rid of them. There was another Babylonian king, weighed himself with the wrong scales. Daniel was sent to him, and there was a handwriting on the wall. And one of the things that writing said is, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. You know, there was a Pharisee and a tax collector that had gone to prayer and sacrifice and worship to the Lord. And you remember the Pharisee, he weighed himself with the wrong scales. And he said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. Jesus said he measured himself with the wrong scales. You know, Peter weighed himself. Remember when Jesus said to Peter and the other disciples, you're all going to scatter. You're all going to abandon me. You're all going to leave. Remember what Peter said? I will never leave you. I will die with you. Peter was measuring himself with the wrong scales. Ananias, Sapphira, you remember those early church? They weighed themselves with the wrong scales. They had sold some property, and they were going to give a portion of that to the church, lay it at the apostles' feet. But they were going to do it deceptively. They were going to make it seem like they gave all, but they gave some. And if they only gave some, that was fine, but they lied about giving some. They said they gave all. They weighed themselves in error. And finally, I'll just mention one more. You can go through over and over again. We can look at our own lives, right, man? This is all reflective of us. We're not just looking at these guys and saying, bad guy, bad guy, bad guy. No, it's, whew, there's John there. John's done that. That's not you telling me that I did that. I'm just putting my name in the blank, okay? You put your name in the blank as well. Laodicean church, Jesus spoke to and said, you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. You've weighed yourself, and this is your estimation. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Laodicean church was using the wrong scales. They were using the wrong measurements. They were using the wrong estimations, the wrong balances to determine how they were at with the Lord. And so we tend to declare as good, which is sometimes less than so. We proclaim success and accomplishment when in truth we missed the mark. Or conversely, we feel that we have failed when in God's eyes we were greatly successful. And we feel our faith is small. There are so many folks that I've sat down with and felt that their faith was so small. But I had to encourage them and say, no. You are at the bottom. You feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel here, and you are looking up. That is not small faith. Sometimes we estimate ourselves wrongly in our failures or in our apparent weakness of faith. And God says, no, that faith that you so-called weak moves mountains. So God weighs things differently because he sees things differently. He puts a greater value in the heart than outward accomplishment. He's often overlooked the great men and preferred to choose someone small or some action small and of little consequence, a little estimation in the eyes of the world. And so a shepherd's small stone defeats a giant and an army. And a boy's small sack lunch feeds thousands of people, hungry people. And a tax collector's desperate, humble prayer is the one that heaven hears and answers. And a widow's mite in the offering is worth more on God's scales than all the other offerings combined. See, God sees what we do not see. He sees the intention. He sees David, who wanted and desired to build a temple, and God told him no, but he said to David, "But I see your heart, and in my eyes, because I see your heart, it is as good as built." Because God sees things differently. How we could benefit from seeing things the way that God sees them. We tend to assign the weight of importance to great men and great accomplishments and great successes and great wealth and great performance and great power and great prestige. God assigns weight to things that the world disregards. And he deems light and vain those things that the world considers great and weighty. God weighs our faith. As we've mentioned, Matthew 17, Jesus says, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here and go over there.'" God weighs our service. Paul wrote, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." God weighs our service. He weighs our giving. Therefore, Jesus says, "When you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." God weighs our greatness, or what's great. Jesus said in Mark 10, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all." See, God takes this idea of what matters, and he turns it on its head. God weighs our riches. Remember what Paul said of himself and of his ministry, and he spoke of himself saying, "As poor, yet making many rich, and having nothing, and yet possessing all things." And God weighs our usefulness. 1 Corinthians 1, "You see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." What God chooses tends to be what we would not choose. Are you thankful that God chose you? And you know he didn't choose you because you're very talented? He didn't choose you because you're good looking? He didn't choose you because you're wealthy and you can do a lot with your wealth? He didn't choose you because of anything in you. In fact, he chose you because of your deficit. In fact, it seems that he chooses those who will comprehend more and more their deficits. And he delights and taking those who are poor in the spirit and pouring out the blessings of the kingdom upon them. Amen. Because that's how God sees. And one of the things that the church needs in this day is we need a fresh vision for what God sees as worthy, of what God sees as valuable, of what God sees as meaningful, because you and I are caught in this tension of here and there, of temporal and eternal. And somehow we have to live in this this temporal, earthly life, but with heaven and eternity before us. So somehow we have to live this life by faith bringing heaven to earth. And all of a sudden, what matters isn't the raise, although that's wonderful when you get it. And it's not the beautiful sunny day who's looking forward to spring. And all of a sudden that carries more weight than this dull, dreary winter. And all of a sudden, it's more than snow and sunshine what matters to God. Sometimes it's, how easy it is to praise God when the sun is going to be shining in the spring and you're going to see things budding. But what about when you've got 4 feet of snow and you're wondering if your roof's going to collapse? What does God see? What does he see in your heart? Is there a sunshine in your heart? Even though there's not one that you can see outside, though you know it's there. You know, my family, we've done a lot of, read a lot of biographies about missionaries. And one of the things that I know my wife and I have often struggled with as we read these stories about these missionaries is a lot of them are, you know, they leave their family behind or they drag their family along and all the things that happen along the journey of loss and tragedy and struggle, and we're like, I don't know if I can do that. And then some of these missionaries, it's like they're short-lived. They just kind of burn bright and then they're out, you know. And so there's this tendency to look at some of these testimonies and say, yeah, maybe subconsciously, what a waste. What a waste. They could have done so much more if they had lived longer, if they made this decision or this choice or brought this to the table on their journey so that they were able to extend their usefulness for the Lord. And all of a sudden I'm considering what God weighs, and all of a sudden the short-lived life burned out for God weighs more than the long life lived for protecting self. And that's for some reason in God's eyes. Somebody that lives to 16, 17, 18, or 23, or whatever, who burns it all out for God, and it seems like they wasted it. Oh, that's weighty in God's eyes. But the one that somehow managed to get through life with as much comfort and as little sacrifice as possible, and we get to that age, well, we live to 100. Does God say at the end of that, but, you know, sure, you were moral. Good, that's kind of the lowest common denominator in Christianity, be moral. Okay, so you didn't kill somebody. Woo! But did you use it up for God? Even when it seemed a waste. Remember when that woman came to Jesus with the alabaster jar of ointment perfume? Came in, I think unassuming. I don't think intending to draw attention to herself, although this was an act that was going to draw attention to itself because she went to Jesus' feet and immediately got everybody's attention. What is she doing? And then breaking that alabaster jar and pouring out that perfume, it got everybody's attention. Did she do it for everybody's attention? Absolutely not. She did it for the attention of one. In fact, not even necessarily have Jesus say, oh, thank you, good job. But even if Jesus could even keep having conversations and she could do this as a sign of devotion. If Jesus, I just want to bless Jesus. He doesn't have to draw attention to me. He doesn't have to call me out. I just want to do this and not interrupt him. I'm not doing this for show. I'm not doing this for anybody's attention. But there's no way that such a sacrifice cannot go unnoticed when it smells so wonderful. But you remember what the disciples said? They used different scales. They said, oh, what a waste. What a waste. And this is hard for me because I save everything. I'm not like a hoarder like that necessarily. But I tend to save every that last piece of fudge that's my name on it may sit there till like, you know, May. Okay. You know, I tend to save things. Don't want things to go to waste. It's almost against my nature to throw something away that has some usefulness in it. We use our, we just got a new fridge, but we had this fridge. It was old, you know, and the light in the fridge didn't work for like a year and a half. It worked. It did fine, but there's no light in it. Okay. Where's that? Oh, and that went bad. You can smell that. You know, it's still useful. Still useful. And there are things in life that we say, it still has use. When God is saying, spend it all. Quit trying to save. When it ought to be spent on God's scales. Because Jesus said, oh, this is weighty, guys. They're going to be talking about her forever because it's going to be written in God's book. This is weighty. This sacrifice, yes, it was a one and done. Soon enough, those feet were going to smell like manure or wherever else Jesus walked around it. That it was going to be short-lived. And it costed a year's wage. What a waste, but in God's eyes, what a blessing to God. This is weighty. God puts that on the scale and it's like, boom! And all of that trying to save that the disciples were talking about. We could give that to this guy and that guy and the poor or whatever. And it's like, oh, guys, you guys are missing it here. You guys have missed this whole thing. Because you're using the wrong scales to determine what is good and what is a true blessing. Jesus says this, give and it will be given to you. Good measure and pressed down, shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you see that you use, it will be measured back to you. Do you see that? It's almost like a dare that Jesus is saying. I just dare you. I dare you to outgive Jesus. I dare you to outgive God. I dare you to out-sacrifice him. I dare you to out-bless him. There's no possible way that we can ever, ever even come close to meeting God's measure. Amen? The more empty you are and lightly esteemed by the world, the more weighty you will be on the scales of the Lord. Since our scales that we tend to use are rather unreliable, we need to trust God's scales. His scales will not lie. Proverbs says, honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. And so what we need to do, this is something that I do often, and I'm going to encourage you, very simple. It's something that Spirit of God just led me to do, just something really simple. Might be sometime during the day or at the end of the day or whatever. It's a simple question. Lord, how are we doing? How are we doing? You know. In other words, God, take me through the day. How do we do here? How about here? How about how I handled this? How about that? How are we doing? You know what I'm really asking him? I'm saying, Lord, weigh me. Weigh me. Not in terms of, am I acceptable to the Lord? Because that's not what we're talking about. We'll get into that as we close here in a moment. But in terms of, Lord, is my estimation of things accurate? What I think is good, is it really good? What I claimed to do for you, did I really do it for you or did I do it for me? That act of humility, Lord, was it humble in your eyes? Lord, my faith is kind of like here, but what is it to you? You see? Lord, how are we doing? Weigh me. Let me be weighed on honest scales. I missed some of those. There we are. Let me be weighed on honest scales that God may know my integrity. It's Job's prayer. Job's saying, Lord, weigh me. I think a great scripture to go to is Psalm 139, verse 23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The psalmist is saying, Lord, weigh me. I want to live a life that means something to you. I want to take what you have given me. And Jesus talked about this, didn't he, about the talents? I want to take what you've given me, and I want to use it to glorify you. Weigh me, Lord. In closing, just to make sure that we're not confused about this whole thing, what we're not doing versus what we're doing. God does not weigh us in order to see if we measure up to his standard. Right? Who can do that? He already knows that we do not. He does not measure us to see if we are worthy. He already knows that we are not. He does not place us on his scales to determine if we have merit. We do not. That is not why he weighs us. To see if we are worthy of his love. To see if we are worthy of his sacrifice. To see if we are worthy to remain in his family. That is not how he uses his scales. That is not the purpose of his scales in our lives. You see, one of the things that he's doing, one of the really important things that he's doing in regards to weighing us is he measures us to see how much we are becoming like his son. We do that with little ones. Are they the right weight for this age, for this time in their lives? And we weigh them, and we mark. Anybody still have little marks on the door jamb, kids? Little marks. Are they, relatively speaking, the right height, weight, size, whatever, for their age? And so in a sense, what God is doing is he's taking us, his people, his children, his sons and daughters, and the Father is taking us to his door jam, and he's measuring how much are we like his son. Now here's the wonderful thing. You and I are not called to try to muster it up. Because we cannot. You see, Jesus has to help us with that. Ephesians chapter 4 says, to each one of us a grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And it goes on to say, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why are we putting on God's scales? Why is he weighing us? How much are we like Jesus? Because Jesus is the perfect man. He is who we are to be like. And so when he weighs our works, and he weighs our character, and he weighs our humility, and he weighs everything else in our lives, it's how much are we like his son? God's scale for his children is for the perfecting of the saints, that Christ would be formed in us. That our works would be the same weight as the works of Jesus. That Christ is the standard of the measurement God uses to measure us. Jesus is the one who gives us weight. On our own, can never measure up. As it said, one of the scriptures that it said earlier, we're vapor, light as air. But as we, through faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, and yielding to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' work becomes our work on the scales. Jesus' character, nurtured and developed in us, becomes our character. Jesus' love It is his love that becomes our love. And Jesus' humility becomes our humility. And Jesus' greatness becomes our greatness. And Jesus' glory becomes our glory. And Jesus' heart becomes our heart. And Jesus' that's it, what I wanted to say, right? Started getting away from myself. That's the goal. Amen? That's what God's doing. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. Not just helping you to get through the day. Not just helping you to deal with whatever crisis or trial. Praise God, he's there for those things. But what does he do today than we were yesterday? Are we more like Jesus? Is it more Jesus than us? As we go, is it less and less and less and less me? I decrease, he increases. Amen? What is the outcome? God is invested in the outcome, but he's invested in the means to the end. And the means to the end is you and I willingly submitting ourselves to God's scales. But will you and I measure them with our scales? Or we'll say, God, we need your scales to know the truth about things. Amen?
Amen.
Paul wrote this: we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal... Anybody know what the next word is? Wait. Say it like you mean it. Wait. Eternal weight of glory. God is measuring. Praise God, he's not measuring us for merit. But he is measuring us for Jesus. Amen? Let's stand. Father God, we